Hey, Meg, let's do a podcast.
That's a great idea. What should we talk about?
All right, I'm just going to jump right into this. Every industry has its buzzwords. And what I always find interesting is that sometimes how people in the industry define those buzzwords differs widely. It's like instructional design. That's a whole rabbit hole we're not going to go down. I want to talk about learning ecosystems today, in part because you and I, who otherwise think so similarly in so many respects, came at this one from two totally different directions.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually remember the first time that we talked about this because I had just given a presentation at DevLearn. And it was on learner journey mapping. And Sam DeGus and I have done this this workshop a couple different times. And we talk not just about the learner's journey, but also the entire ecosystem of things that support that learner through their journey. So we're talking about the people, the processes, and the technology that helps them to be successful in what they're learning, but also in what they're going to then perform and do on the job. And so that is my way about thinking about learning ecosystems. And I remember you came to me and you're like, you know what? I thought you were just going to talk about the technology piece and just the systems. But it's broader than that, isn't it? And I was like, I think it is, Megan.
I know. I was like, where are the LMSs? Where's the data? So, yeah.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, as we were preparing to have this conversation, I also thought, I'm going to go out and see what the rest of the world thinks too. And so I asked my good friend Google, and I asked my good friend ChatGPT. Well, we're not quite good friends yet, but we're getting there. I said, "What, you know, describe for me what's a learning ecosystem. Give me three different ways, emphasize different aspects of it." And ChatGPT came back with, one way to describe it from a technology aspect, another from community and social aspect, and the third way was organizational and policy. And I was like, that's exactly it. It's the people, processes, and technology. I also found some other stuff around culture. You know, that could be people too. Content, strategy, data, governance, you know. So it's a lot of things. It's all the things.
It's kind of whatever you want it to be. Could it be?
It could be, yes. I think so.
Well, and so this is helpful though. So it's not just me, it's not just you, right? There's lots of different ways to define it. I showed up, I remember, to Rob Brodnick's learning ecosystem project. I was so excited. And yeah, I showed up with my LMSs and my data lakes and I was all ready to geek out. And all of a sudden we're talking about social identities and student life and economic ecosystems. And I thought, I have landed on the wrong place. By the end of the session, it all made sense. It was just a bigger place than I had landed. So in our work, Meg, you and I have worked now with several organizations in their ecosystem strategy, and we always start with describing the current state as a good place to get started. And what is some of the things that you find that brings to that project? What's the value there?
Yeah, so starting there allows you to really get a lay of the land and see, do you have the right elements in place to achieve the goals that your organization is setting out to achieve as a broad organization, but also with learners specifically? You can also start to get a sense for, are there gaps that need to be addressed? Are there redundancies? Are you one of those very, very large organizations out there that has six LMSs and maybe you don't quite need all of those? Or maybe each one of those is serving a very specific need and somebody higher up is saying, like, get X the LMSs. And no, really what you find by mapping that current state is they're all necessary. For different reasons. Maybe you'll find some inefficiencies or things that you could do better. Maybe you'll find that there's something in the environment, in the ecosystem, that is holding you back from being able to reach your goals. So I think that's why starting with the current state can really get you a long way.
And we had a project recently where we ended up with a really creative way of, an insightful way of looking at their learning ecosystem. And we actually looked beyond just learning. We looked at a lot of depth. There were things on that learning ecosystem that I don't see in a lot of places. Walk me through that one.
Sure.
Knowing that this is an audio and we're walking through a picture. Everybody, there's a lot of hand waving going on.
It's true. So yeah, so this particular project, we started by looking at all the different layers. So the learner has their layer, and they can see they see how they access things, the devices that they're using, and the systems that they're using for that. The systems that are used to deliver. So that might be the learning management system or a data dashboard that they would see. So those are the learner visible aspects. And then below that, there's also the things they don't see. There's all the tools that are used to create the content. There's the content management. There's the content authoring, analysis and visualization that's happening with your data, and also a data management layer, skills taxonomies, and how the data is being aggregated and transformed to be able to serve up those visualizations and provide insights to leaders or to even to learners themselves. And then below that and kind of spanning across as well is all the things that enable the learning to take place. And so that might have something to do with AI, or it's learning ops and project management. There's all sorts of things that might enable that learning to take place, even language and translation that needs to happen. And so what we did was we identified all these different aspects and also laid them out in a matrixed approach to look at how that spans across the employee's life cycle from the very start of their journey with you as an organization when they're being attracted to your organization, also in retaining them as part of your org, and then training them, getting them up to speed to when they're performing on the job, and how will all of that, all of those different pieces of the ecosystem interact with them. And then we really focused in, because we were working with a learning organization, we really focused in on that middle section of getting them up to speed and training them.
Well, I think what was really cool about that project, because yes, right, we focused in on that the learning part of the ecosystem. But as we drew that, we found there were pieces and tools that bled over into the attract, grow, retain, kind of the more HR and OD side of things, and on the performance side of things, that we're going to hint that we needed to connect with other people, not just the learning folks in the organization. Yeah. So that was super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that speaks to getting all the right people at the table to talk about this and look at it as well. Is you're going to need to, in this process of mapping the ecosystem, think about who your stakeholders are and bring them in. So this having this visual, that's one of the key things about ecosystem mapping, is you can start to have a visual that everybody can come around, stand around, or on a computer look at together, to have that common shared visual and shared language for what you have in front of you to deal with.
And that's super, super powerful. Yeah. So, all right, we can't really talk about learning ecosystems without talking about J.D. Dillon's book, The Modern Learning Ecosystem. Totally run out and grab that. But you've recently seen him talk, haven't you?
I did. Yes. We here in Ann Arbor had the pleasure of welcoming him to our local ATD chapter. He joined us virtually for one night, and he got to talk to us about how AI is going to be interacting with and changing the modern learning ecosystem. And he shared his framework with us as well. And so, you know, his framework is really looking at the different modalities that are used for learning, and he's mapped those across or he sort of stacks them up depending on the level of structure of that particular learning modality, and then also looks at the availability of that learning. So that's really a little bit more focused than what we have been talking about with learner ecosystem mapping, but I think also holds a lot of value to think about it using that framework.
Well, and that graphic is super powerful, and we should include a picture of that graphic in the show notes, because it's just it really captures his point of view on things, and his work is all around frontline workers, and that's really his history. So the how structured is it, and how can I get to it, really makes sense in what he's doing. You know, Meg, as I think about this conversation, as I think about the way you and I work at this together, what's always interesting is how just you and I work together on this, right? So I am, I move fast, I wave my hands around, I jump up and draw on whiteboards, and I'm one of those fast thinker people who can work the room, pull together a visual, and then you're the one who comes in and you think through it so carefully and deeply, and you find all the holes in that first draft thinking that we had, and you put the polish on it, but also you connect the dots. So you and I are coming at this from not only different perspectives on the ecosystem itself, but just on the work of doing that visual itself. Are there lessons for other people here?
Yeah, I think there are. You know, the process itself can often bring more questions than it answers, and so bringing together people who are thinking big and can help you with your divergent thinking, that will be really important. But then you also need those people in the room who are going to be deep processors, who are going to really hone in on details and think about all the implications of one thing or another. And so having a bunch of people and diverse people in the room, and in especially in the way that they think and process information, I think is really helpful.
So you're just saying I should be a little bit more patient with things?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so Meg, seriously, we talk about ecosystems, but does that have anything to do with like the natural ecosystems we learned about in elementary school?
So I think it's funny to think about that, because if you recall, my graduate education is in environmental studies. And so it's funny for me to be coming like back around and being like, oh, we're talking about ecosystems. But I think there could be some analogies or metaphors that we bring through there. I think probably the most obvious one would be like that it's a web and everything is interconnected. And so if you're going to be changing one thing in your learning ecosystem, it's going to potentially shift or adjust or have an effect on another piece of your learning ecosystem. And without having things mapped out, when you're making those changes, you could very easily be doing things in the dark and not know kind of the full implications of things as you're moving them around.
So how'd that one go, Meg?
I think it was pretty good. I think there could be a lot more. We could probably have more episodes on ecosystem mapping, but feel good about that.
It's a good place to start. I like it.
Yeah.
High five. This is Megan Torrance with Meg Fairchild, and this has been a podcast by Torrance Learning. Tangents is the official podcast of Torrance Learning, as though we have an unofficial one. Tangents is hosted by Meg Fairchild and Megan Torrance. It's produced and edited by Dean Castile, with original music also by Dean Castile. This episode was fact-checked by Meg Fairchild.